At least three more American soldiers have been killed in Iraq over a 24-hour period in separate attacks in Baghdad and two cities north of the capital. 84 U.S. troops have been killed by hostile fire since May 1st, when President Bush announced an end to major combat. Iraqi police opened fire yesterday in Baghdad to disperse demonstrators complaining about corruption and the way scarce jobs are being handed out. Also in Baghdad yesterday, American soldiers fired warning shots over the heads of stone-throwing Shiite Muslims who were protesting the temporary detention of their imam. As to the attacks on American forces, many, if not most, appear to be coming from Iraqis loyal to Saddam Hussein's regime. The leaders directing the attacks, according to people trying to catch them, have plenty of cash, and they're using it to entice new recruits. NPR's Emily Harris reports from Baghdad.
As dusk falls, the beer sellers come out along a bridge over the Tigris River. They set up their coolers in the street, and soon the area is full of men kicking back. Ali goes there a lot. A couple of months ago, he says, three men drove up, sat nearby, and struck up a conversation. Not surprisingly, it soon turned to the subject of the American Army.
And they asked us if we know anyone who needs some money. We can hire him to work with us against the American. They said, we can hire anyone if you know. We give him money to do anything against the American cars, just like putting some explosives under the cars or any sort of these operations.
The price? $2,500, a huge sum here, simply for taking part. Ali says he asked, just out of curiosity, how one would learn more. Come with us in the car, the three men said. We'll take you to our headquarters. Then Ali asked, what if I just took the money but didn't do the job?
You can't do this because you will be with us until you finish the operation, and we will show you how and when and where the operation will be, and we will be watching.
Ali says he told them he didn't know anyone who would be interested, so the three men left. Some Americans working to capture the attackers here are skeptical a terrorist would try to recruit a stranger. Other security officials find Ali's story plausible, arguing it lets the terrorists stay anonymous. Ali says the conversation seemed perfectly normal to him.
All the people were talking about the war. The American did this and they acknowledged this. And they did such a thing and they didn't such a thing. Everyone was talking. When he started the speech, he said, why couldn't we act something against this coalition? We have to do something because we shouldn't accept this.
Ali might have been able to find the three men a taker. He sells used cars and weapons on the side. He says he's heard people bragging about fighting U.S. soldiers, but he doesn't turn them in case their allies come back into power. The Ba'ath Party leaders organizing many of the attacks do believe they can take power again, according to Walt Slocum, the director of security affairs for the U.S.-led provisional authority here. But he says lower down the ladder, money is the motivation for attacks on Americans.
I think that the people we're up against should be thought of as much like a drug cartel or the mafia, that there's this core of people at the center who do the planning, who do the organizing, who control the money and make the thing work. But the actual attacks are carried out by people who are doing it maybe marginally for reasons of loyalty or hatred or something like that, but probably very heavily for money.
Slocum says people who had power in the old regime probably have plenty of cash, much taken as the government was falling. U.S. troops have uncovered stashes of millions of dollars, but Slocum says there's no reason to believe troops found it all. This means Saddam loyalists wouldn't need to rely on outside funding from sources like Al-Qaeda. Still, one of the primary questions for investigators is to figure out to what extent Ba'athists and Al-Qaeda are cooperating now. Chris Swecker is the FBI's special agent in charge in Iraq. The Bureau is investigating several attacks here, including the massive explosion at the Imam Ali Shrine in Najaf and both attacks on the UN headquarters in Baghdad. Those may have involved suicide bombers, not, says Swecker, a typical Saddam loyalist technique.
Well, we're obviously trying to determine if there's any commonalities between the 8 or 9 bombings that we've investigated here thus far. There are strong suspects, always are the former regime loyalists who are out there in pretty good numbers. We know about the presence of foreign fighters here as well, and we're trying to determine if there's any connection whatsoever to other more formal terrorist organizations like Al-Qaeda.
He says determining similarities in attacks can help sketch out a command structure. Swecker agrees money is part of the appeal for many recruited bombers, but experts also say general discontent lays the groundwork. During Friday prayers at a Sunni Muslim mosque in northeast Baghdad, an imam criticizes the recent murders of 3 young Sunni men. He calls the unknown murderer a criminal, then suggests Americans would have been a holier target. If you had killed the occupiers, he preaches, you would have won a place in heaven because you would be fighting for God's sake. The imam's son, a 22-year-old computer student, believes people attack U.S. soldiers in part because they feel the U.S. treats Iraqis badly. Also, attacks are dramatic.
You see the powerful of attack and the big hit and the big losings of American.
He is not sorry when that happens.
I actually feel sad when any Iraqi civilian, or let's say any Iraqi people, are injured or killed with that attack. Another civilian people like you, like any worker in ward, are injured. But for soldiers, especially with that lying bush, I don't feel sad.
Walt Slocum with the CPA says the best way to counter the anger of potential new attackers is to improve Iraqis' daily lives.
We already get a lot of information from ordinary people who come up to us and give us a tip, usually anonymously, sometimes for a reward, but I think more often because they realize that they have a stake in this terrorism ending as well. As you make life better, indeed as you succeed against the terrorists. It's not that you prevent people from being willing to do stupid things for a lot of money. It is that you begin to build a base in the community where it becomes harder and harder for the terrorists to operate.
Fighting recruitment with reconstruction money. Emily Harris, NPR News, Baghdad.